The sun hid its face at the dawning of the rays. The earth started shaking below. He died for my sin and undoing. He died for my pain and regret. Sent down from above in a scandal of love, this whole world will never forget.
Bring him on a mountain, on the crosses of shame.
Good morning, church. It looks so good to look out there and see all these smiling faces covered with masks. Hey, listen, we do what we have to do, don't we? Amen. Thank you so much for being here. If you're visiting with us today, we appreciate you being here as well. We pray that you'll have an up close and personal worship experience with our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's why we're all here, and we don't want nothing to steal that from us whatsoever. So please feel welcome, and I pray that it would be a really, really good morning for you. Have a few things to announce. We have the McGuire State Missions. I don't think the envelopes are back there yet, but we're running out of time here, and I'll take the blame for not having that advertised as appropriately as possible or as it should have been. That's important for starting and helping maintain brand new churches. So if we get an opportunity, you may have an envelope in the pew in front of you. If you do, that's fine. If not, you can put it in that box back there and designate it for McGuire State offering for helping start the new churches. Just a little bit of business, same thing as normal, but we need to keep announcing it because I don't think everybody knows. Sunday school has been going on for the adults now for about 8 weeks. We just started a couple weeks ago with our children being in Sunday school and the nursery provided. We're going to have children's church after the service today. So if you have children, we're going to dismiss them right around the last couple of songs this morning. Mark will take care of that for you, but we appreciate you being here. Sunday school, 9:30. Church, 10:45 in the a.m., 6 o'clock in the p.m. Or we're going to have Wednesday night, 5 o'clock meal, 6 o'clock prayer and Bible study, 7 o'clock choir practice. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to be involved in these kinds of experiences. We appreciate the opportunity to serve you in that particular way. Food ministry last Tuesday, right, Brother Rick?
Correct. Also, the meal on Wednesday. This is the last Wednesday.
Okay, that's right. That's for the whole month of October. Okay, so if you see an opportunity that you want to get involved and invested in that, please do. A lot of room for help. Feel free to get with the right folks, and we'd be happy to put you to work. I just appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to do what we get to do here. I enjoy these corporate worship services. Having gone without this for a while, several months ago, really opens your eyes to what a blessing it is to get to come to church together. And I pray it'll be an amazing thing for you. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the privilege that's ours to be here today. I want to thank you for everything that you are and everything that you do. Thank you for watching over us and guiding us, taking care of us, helping us to be what we should be as believers, Lord, and as servants. And Father, as we worship today, speak to us up close and personal. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me, speak to me as well. And I'll just pray, Lord, for our country and in the situation that we're in several different areas. God, lift wisdom and guidance to you for our leadership in this country, Father, in this state, Lord. And I just thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you continue to do. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. One more thing before I go down. At the end of this service today, we're going to hand out a sheet. It has 17 items on it. It's guidelines that we're going to do our very best to follow as a church as it relates to the COVID-19 situation that we find ourselves in. I know that our governor has opened up the state to phase 3, but we're going to do the best we can as a church to protect everyone involved in that process. And I urge you, if you would, please stick around for just a few minutes after this service today. We'll hand out that sheet to you, and we'll try to field questions, and honestly, we want you to be informed. So thank you so much. Brother Mark.
Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand and continue our worship service by singing hymn number 426, Victory in Jesus. good singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated as the instruments continue to play and our deacons come up. This is our time of prayer at the altar. If anyone else would like to come forward, please do so at that time, at this time.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, thank you for this group of believers that have gathered just to give you all the praise and glory for everything that happens today, Father. Father, this is something we get to do, and we just thank you for that. Father, we've got just a lot going on with the sickness, Father. I just trust that you'll be with this group of believers and that you'll put your arms of protection around us and keep the virus away from us, Father. Father, we're going to do everything that we know to help you along with that, wearing our mask and stuff. And Father, we trust that that'll be in your grace, Father. Father, also, we got an election coming up, and we've got a politician against a businessman, Father. And Father, just ask that your man goes in there. This is your chosen country, Father, and it was based on you. And it seems like some of them are trying to pull that away, and we've got an opportunity to bring it back closer to where we started, Father. Father, I thank you for the time that you've given me. It seems like I lived in the good times, Father, and some of the kids today, I just don't know if they'll ever see the good times again. But, Father, I hope that you give us an opportunity to send that pendulum back the other way, and that we'll swing back to where we know you, and that we can bring the history back, Father, and that everything will be the way you want it, Father. Father, I ask you to use Kenny today to bring us your message, and Father, that all distractions will be removed. If there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that they'll know you by the end of this service, Father. And if nothing else, that there'll be a seed planted and give them the opportunity to look further into their life, Father. Father, we're going to give you all the praise and glory for everything that happens today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing Down at the Cross, hymn number 140.
Thank you.
and continue in singing. Let's all stand. He knows my name. Everybody, please stand. Song, but before we do, we're going to ask our children at this time if they will make their way toward the back along with our workers, and we'll give them just a minute, and then go ahead, Paul, we're ready.
Our hope, our strong delay.
seated. Let's give the Lord a hand while we're up here, all right? Brother Kenny.
Aren't you glad, church, that we have an everlasting God? Amen. He's not going to go away. He's always been and always will be, and we are the beneficiaries of all of that. And I am so thankful. If you have a Bible with you today, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll be looking at three verses. Actually, we're going to be looking at four verses. I like the fourth verse as well. I don't like it, but it reminds us of something we need to hear. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. Likewise, ye youngers, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, the everlasting God, I'll put that in there, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And one verse as a reminder, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have freedom to open your word, to read it, Lord, for ourselves, to know the truth right in front of our very eyes. And Lord, that we not only can know it, but we can make application to our lives for your glory, Father, and for our growth. We thank you so much for each individual who is here today, Lord, in the sound of this voice. For those, Lord, who are listening in through the website or through Facebook, Father, bless them as well in a very, very special way. Thank you, Lord, that they care enough for when they cannot be here. They will at least tune in, Father, and have a worship experience with us. We thank you for them so very much. So, Lord, now in these next few minutes, I'm praying very specifically, speak to me. Speak through me, Lord. Open my eyes and my heart to the truth of your word. And for any and all, Lord, who may have come here, Father, with heavy burdens, with preoccupations, with anything, Lord, that might steal from them their opportunity to hear from you today, Father, I pray that you would take that away from them, give them peace of heart and peace of mind, that, Father, we might hear your word and might respond to it. Thank you, Lord. We love you for all you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As I began to continue, or as I continued to read in Charles Swindoll's book, and this is the book that I've been using as an outline for our Sunday morning services, I read this book back in 1985. It was written in 1981. And what a resource it has been at that particular time. I thought, you know what? I thought I knew enough about being a servant of the Lord that it wouldn't be a bother. I shouldn't really have to spend a lot of time here. As I've been down that road, I've understood it. I've had it taught to me. I've read it. It's been one of them situations where some of it was comfortable and some of it was not comfortable at all. And there's a part of it this morning that's not going to be comfortable at all. But you know what? I'm better for it. The Word of God does not apologize for being pointed. It doesn't sugarcoat a single thing for you and I. And that's a good thing because we need to hear the truth. The chapter that I'm dealing with now is called A Case for Unselfishness. Pointed. He says that he saw a pyramid. There's a picture. There was a pyramid. I don't know if I can make one or not, sort of like that, with the bottoms, corners, and the point at the top. And he said these things, and I quote, those four words stood out in bold print. The four words he's talking about is at the top. It was I, then me, then mine, and then myself. And they appeared as if they were forming an enormous monument, each letter seemingly chiseled out of granite. At the base of this strange monument were hundreds, perhaps thousands of people with their arms held up high as if worshiping at a shrine. And then in very small letters, this caption appeared at the bottom of the editorial cartoon. Speaking of American cults, surrounding the borders of this picture were four familiar lines from well-known commercials. Now, this is 1981, so you may have to go back a little bit, but you see if you can figure out where this commercial came from. Have it your way. Burger King. Okay, the next two I don't know, so I'm going to need some help. Do yourself a favor. Anybody got an idea? The next one was, you owe it to yourself. And this one will be easy. You deserve a break today. That's got to be McDonald's. Sometimes it's not painful, or it's painful to recognize and realize that even as believers, it's not impossible for you and I to have a little selfish streak running on the inside of us. That's the reason that I added verse 8. I was only going to read 5, 6, and 7, but it made great sense to me as a reminder. Wake up, be aware, know this. Your enemy, Satan, walks about, and what a visual this is, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That was the text for my very first message as a 17-year-old, not having been saved for very long. And I don't know why. I've never known why that the Lord drew me to this, but Diane's father was the pastor at Berea. And he asked me, would you like to speak on Youth Day? And before my brain engaged, my mouth said, sure. So I studied for 3 weeks. And disappointing to you when I tell you this, it's not going to happen today, but for 3 weeks I studied. And Sunday morning I got to preach on Youth Day for 7.5 minutes. No, you're not going to get that today. Sorry, not happening. But as I thought about that passage of Scripture, what we need to be reminded of on a fairly regular basis is everything and anything good that you and I plan to do for the cause of Christ, anything right and moral and ethical, covered in integrity and love and kindness and purpose, make sure that you remember always that the devil knows what's going on and he would love to destroy anything that God's building into your life that's positive. And as I share this chapter with you today, as always, I want you to hear my heart before you hear my words. This is a real area that we need to improve on as Christians, all of us. Having a servant heart and becoming a servant and living as a servant and functioning as a servant and ministering as a servant in a lot of ways does not light the fire under a lot of folks. I've met people who have a servant's heart, and we have many of those in the church here today. And y'all are beautiful to watch. But I realize that we have to be very careful that we don't do like Charles Swindoll did in the beginning and that we fill in a negative definition to this word. He didn't like the word. He didn't like what it meant. He didn't understand it completely, and he shares that. He's very transparent in the process. He said, but when you hear those kinds of things and you think about the idea that even as Christians, we still have levels of selfishness in us that we have to get control over, or it takes over our life. And it kills our ministry, and it kills our witness, and it causes problems and issues. He said, that kind of stuff really hurts. It's not fun to hear. And every now and then, it's my responsibility to share the stuff that's hard to hear with the stuff that's fun to hear. So it's terribly true that that's the way it is. He goes on in this paragraph to say, yet we constantly applaud the I, me, mine, and myself philosophy in subtle as well as overt ways. We make books on the subject of selfishness bestsellers by buying them by the millions. We put the gifted on a pedestal, and we secretly, if not publicly, worship at their shrine. And we make every effort to look out for number one at all costs. Let's admit it. Ours is an age of gross selfishness, the me first era. And we get mighty uncomfortable even when God begins to make demands on us. And after all, the business of wholesale commitment to the cause of Christ Doesn't it need to be kept in proper boundaries? No. God sets the boundaries, and he tells us what's expected of us. And as I read this chapter for the very first time a long time ago, I thought, well, you know what? It's not real popular to talk about stuff that hurts. It's not really going to bring them in by the hordes. We're not going to fill up every pew as long as we continue talking about responsibilities and the things that we need to grow and so forth. Wilbur Ries, whom I don't know who he is other than by this one large paragraph that he's written. The title is, I'd Like to Buy $3 Worth of God. Maybe you heard this. He said, I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. Yeah, $3 of him is sufficient. You know, a sack full, nothing more. Just enough to keep my guilt level below the threshold of pain. Just enough to guarantee escape from the eternal flames. But certainly not enough to make me nervous to start pushing around my prejudices or nitpicking my lifestyle. Enough is enough, right? So I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. You know, just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough to make me love every man or to pick beats with a migraine. I just want ecstasy. I don't want transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. Yep, that's right. I just would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. That's pretty heavily loaded in sarcasm, but sometimes that's the way it is. We don't want to, you know, our inner self doesn't want God entirely. We don't want to do everything that he says we need to be doing, and we just pick out that which is comfortable. About $3 worth is probably sufficient. And the issue is here, when Peter writes to these folks, he's helping them understand how they're supposed to be living. And he basically says, be very, very careful that you understand that you have enemies of this whole process. I think the most revealing thing to me was when Charles Swindoll in the opening chapters of the book said, I didn't like the whored servant. Didn't fit well with me to hear that, because my image of servant was way off of what the Word of God has. You and I sometimes don't like the word servant. What we realize or what we do not realize is some of the happiest times of our lives as Christians will be spent in times of service to other people. I shared this with you before, I know at least one time, but I'm going to share it again. And it's something that God taught me in a hard way. If you and I can just take it or leave it when it comes to church, if we can just show up or not show up, if we can just get involved or not get involved, if we can just make this a habit instead of a privilege, if we have that I have to be here process or I'm expected to be here process or on and on and on, and you fill it in the way you want to, if you and I can just take it or leave it when it comes down to being a servant of our Lord Jesus, the devil is going to negotiate with you and I until he finds something that pushes a button in us and we walk away. And you say, oh, you don't understand, preacher. I've been a member of a church for 50 years. God bless you. I am so glad that you've been a member of some church somewhere for 50 years. But make sure that you understand you're not exempt from the assault of Satan. We have to guard those things that are precious to us. We have to be aware of the assault that comes into our hearts and into our minds, especially when things don't go the way that we would like for them to go. Some of the most horrible fights I've ever seen in my life were among church members. A lot of times we just don't understand there are ways to treat one another. There are ways that we're supposed to understand. You may take an objection to something that I don't object to, and I need to understand that that's your call and that's your choice. And guess what, guys and girls? God didn't make me your judge. This is your judge. And he didn't make you mine either. So as I continued to study this chapter, I thought, you know what? How are you going to sell this to this group of people without it sounding really, really negative and everybody going out of here with their chins down and thinking, you know what? I came to church today to get something positive, and this is what I got. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit needed to speak to you in that way. So please just bear with me. There is some good stuff here. Looking out for number one. Servanthood and success just don't belong, or it appears that they don't belong in the same sentence. We all want to be successful. We've all made efforts to be successful. We've spent the time or the money or the opportunity to be successful. We live in a very success-saturated society. You're somebody special if you're somebody that's been, you know, successful. We live in that kind of a society. Books abound on the subject. You go into any bookstore and there's all kinds of stuff that's been written about how to be successful in whatever it is you're going to do. They give you philosophies. They give you processes. They give you step programs. They give you everything you could imagine to get to the place. And sadly enough, we tend to applaud those books, applaud the selfishness, applaud those who feel like they're self-made. They become bestsellers for you and I. We buy them off their videos and magazines and seminars and all kinds of countless celebrated speakers with all kinds of new ideas and motivations. You know, it's just, even in messages, there are those that preach out there. It's called the prosperity gospel. It says basically, you know what? God wants everybody to be rich. Show me the chapter and the verse that says God wants everybody to be rich. That is an opinion. That is not scripture. You know, and then in the movie Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Anybody who saw that movie understands where that's coming from. You know, if your team is winning and having success, the stands will be full when they allow it. But if your team is not winning and your team is not having success, guess what? You can buy a pretty cheap seat. Why is that? Because we celebrate success. We celebrate power. You know, it seems odd that few people ever address really and truthfully the things that folks want in their pursuit of success. What do you expect out of the success that you dream for? Contentment? No. Fulfillment? No. How about satisfaction? Probably not. What about relief? Probably not. But if you ask people, what do you want out of life? What do you expect by the investment that you put into it? They will tell you, I want to be happy. I want to be content. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be satisfied. I want relief from the craziness that comes with making a living. But you know what? The roads that are supposed to lead to success are maddening. They're almost crazy. You talk to anybody who is sold out in their business, and they will tell you that it's a full-time process. Consider this quote from the Executive Digest, and I thought this was so pointed. It said, the trouble with success is that the formula is the same for the ones that bring a nervous breakdown. And I thought, really, that's not the same kind of success I'm thinking about. But that's very true. I mean, think about this. Here's the formula. Work longer hours. Push ahead, no matter what. Let nothing hinder your quest, not your marriage, not your family, not your convictions or conscience, not your health or your friends. Let absolutely nothing hinder your pursuit. Your goal for success becomes more important than anything else on the planet. Oh, yeah, and be aggressive. And if necessary, you can be mean. Okay? You know, as you press toward the top. You got to be smart. You got to be slick. You got to be sly if success is the bottom line of your agenda. It's the same old fortune, fame, power, pleasure line that we've been falling for generations. So, preacher, what are you driving at? You sound like to me you're going around the house to come in the front door. It's real simple. Servanthood, according to the world, has an ugly look and a nasty taste to it. But servanthood, according to the Word of God, has some beautiful things that we need to pay attention to. Servanthood, according to God, is an enormous blessing for those who take it seriously, who pour into that definition of servant, the things that the Word of God talks about. That God calls you and I to serve Him and to be joyful in that process and to be diligent in that process and to be faithful in that process. And he goes on to simply say, if you give your life to the Lord Jesus and you give it to Him as a servant and not somebody to be served, then what you'll find out is that your goal was the same thing that Jesus came to take care of. Mark 10:45. You know, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. So I will believe with all my heart until the day I have my last breath on this planet that if you will find out where your giftedness is, what kinds of things you're passionate about, and you will find the place that God wants, that God wants you to put your membership, and then you find the place where God wants you to serve and how God wants you to serve, and you poured the biblical definition into what it means to be a servant, success will be yours. Happiness will be yours. Contentment will be yours. Why is that? Because that's why you and I are here. That's what we are called to. It makes me so sad when I see folks that can just take church or leave it. It's like I mentioned a minute ago. That's been one of my prayers. I'm going to be transparent here for you for just a minute. That's been one of my prayers for a long, long time. Lord, please don't let me become apathetic. Please do not let me lose my passion for doing what you called me to do. Don't ever let me negotiate with Satan, because I will lose every time. And I'm not looking for glory when I tell you that. I'm just simply telling you that's been my prayer for a long time. And it goes a little bit like this. Lord, please don't let me get old between my ears. Don't ever let me stop caring about the things that you told me I'm supposed to be doing. Don't ever let me get to the place where I can just take it or leave it, where something else becomes way more important to me than doing what you called me to do and being what you called me to be as a Christian. You know, don't let me fall into the trap that the world places out there. Let me be successful according to how you call it, not how the world calls it. The biblical definition of success is knowing the will of God for your life and then doing it with every ounce of your energy and your passion and your wisdom. From the day you draw your first breath knowing that until you take your last breath. All I can say to you folks is that it has worked for me, not because of me, but because of God. And if you don't have a servant mentality and you don't think there's any possible way that you could do that, the counsel of the Word of God is second to none. The good news is that there's a different approach. The better news is that it stands 180 degrees in contrast to all the things that we talked about up until this point. The most important news is that it represents a philosophy that's supported in Scripture. So why, preacher, should I get involved? I got a job and I'm busy. Why, preacher, should I get involved? I'm old and it's hard for me to get here. Why, preacher, should I be involved? I don't feel like I have a whole lot of skills, a whole lot of things to offer the church, or you for that matter. Why should I get involved? Because Jesus said to. And that makes it important. And he told you what was going to happen if you did. You know, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Verse 5. All of you be subject one to another. Ooh, boy, did he really say that? I'm subject to you and you're subject to me. In other words, it matters to me what you think. And it ought to matter to you what I think. Is that the way it's supposed to go down? Am I supposed to pay close attention? Are you going to be more important than me? Am I going to be more important than you? And he says, when you do this, Be clothed with humility. What does that mean? That means I'm not self-made no matter how good it gets. That means that God gets the glory for every good thing that comes into my life and every good thing that comes into your life. You look at it and you become humble. Wrap yourself with this idea. You got it better than you deserve. God gives us grace when we deserve justice. God does things for us that nobody else on the planet will ever be able to do. And notice this phrase in verse 5, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh, so you mean there's a benefit? Yeah, better. Absolutely. There's a really good benefit there. If we're too proud and too judgmental and too opinionated to allow the Lord to serve us, then we are for us to serve the Lord, then we're resisting, and God resists the proud. That's about as clear as it gets, isn't it? You want to be proud and arrogant in your life and live your life that way? Well, guess what? God's going to resist you. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? But he giveth grace to the humble. Oh, you mean there's a benefit if I do this the right way? Absolutely. God always has a benefit when we do it the right way. Yeah. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, under the mighty hand of God. For what purpose? That he may exalt you, and get this phrase, in due time. If God wants to raise you up into a position you've never been in before, he's going to do it in his time. If you try to make it happen, you'll most likely fail. And the verses are just, you know, and he goes on to simply say this, you don't have to do this by yourself. You cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares about what happens in your life. It matters to him. And I love those verses because they address what happens for success according to the Bible. Three points. Submit to authority. Humble yourselves in your attitude. And don't be anxious. Put all your cares on the Lord Jesus. And the best part of all this, and I love this, this is straight out of Swindoll's book, and I quote, following God's directives will bring the one benefit not found in the world's empty promises, and that's a deep sense of lasting satisfaction that you're where you are and where you should be, doing what you should be doing and watching God bless that. He goes on to say this, and I can't say it better, so I'm going to quote it. It is what we would call the forgotten side of success, and it is the success that will come to those who wish to develop the heart of a servant. That phrase is so important. The heart of a servant, my friends, it's got to be developed. We don't come into this world with a plan to be a servant. When's the last time that you looked at a little baby and wondered how come they got selfish? Or, wait a minute, is a little baby selfish? Are they? Do they ever look at you and just simply say, you know what, a bottle would be good right now, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. Well, I really would like to go to sleep right now, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of the fact that it's too hot in here, it's too cold in here. You don't have to teach selfishness, do you? Babies teach us that. They don't look at you and say, feed me now. It's, ah, what's that? That's close, isn't it? Maybe your kid wasn't like ours. I mean, they're so patient and so understanding and so easy to get along with. That's what they do. Well, guess what? If we don't grow up a little bit, that's what we do. Shut up, preacher. You didn't stop preaching, going to meddling now. I get it. I'm just trying to be real here for a second. There are moments when you and I act like we're 10 months old. When God speaks up close and personal and he gives us that level of conviction, I need you to do this. I've gifted you to do this. I expect you to do this. I will help you to do this. And I will do in you more than you could ever do for yourself if you ignore why you're here. I just... Sometimes when it gets up close and personal like this, sometimes I just want to bail out and think, you know what, you're going to make some enemies today. It's not what I'm trying to do here. God has given us a wonderful, loving congregation. He's given us a church family that matters because we care about each other. And what I want us to do is I want us to see that growth and servanthood is a beautiful thing together. That success and servanthood does not need to be in separate sentences. That if you can find that place where you need to be doing what God called you to do, there's nothing better ever for giving you a kind of peace and a kind of direction and a kind of understanding that changes your entire life. There's not a single day that I'd rather mow grass than to preach. I'm talking about not one. God provided us a lawn service to make a living, and it served us well, and I'm grateful for that. But this is what Kenny's supposed to be doing, and I know that. You may have a separate opinion, and that's okay. But this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And there's a peace in me that is a little beyond what I can actually understand. I'll never have a different kind of concern when it comes to serving the Lord. And I pray that you know what it is you're supposed to be doing and that you do it. But here's the sad reality. If we're selfish, it'll never happen. It'll just never happen. I've believed for a long time that we were saved from something, and that's a life of sin and death and hell as our future and our forever. We've been saved from all of that because of Jesus Christ, but we've been saved to something, and that's a life of service. If you know how to sing and you enjoy singing, I'd pray that you're singing in your truck, in your shower, in the choir. If you've been gifted to speak, I pray that you have an opportunity and a platform to do that. If you've been gifted to lead, I hope you have the opportunity and the platform to do that. If you have a servant's heart, if you have the gift of giving, I hope and pray that you're doing that on a regular basis for God's glory and for your growth. This whole chapter is sort of just really in my face and in your face, and I respect the fact that it's not easy. I respect the fact that there are things that we need to do that sometimes cause us some hardship. It's a little hard sometimes to share that with you. Every now and then I need to slow down and speak my heart. There'll never be a time that we won't need somebody to help in whatever ministry is going on in this church. There'll never come a time. Now, we don't need you to step up and find your place and get passionate about the opportunity that you have to serve. And it'll never be better for you until you do. I've been in churches before where pastors and leaders in the church beat you up. Make you feel bad, make you feel guilty, make you hurt unnecessarily on the inside because you weren't doing what they thought you should be doing. Well, here's the bottom line. Those guys and girls are not the Holy Spirit, nor am I, nor are you. And the beautiful part about all that is when we genuinely listen, and we define what we hear as truth, that's when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of that and he makes it real in my life and real in your life. And if we are willing to obey and commit, then God does some marvelous things in our lives because that's what we chose to do. So may I encourage you Be a servant. Don't be selfish. Give of yourself, of your time, of your talent, of your resources. Give whatever it is that God allows you to give and encourages you to give. And there will be a tranquility, a peace, a purpose in your heart and in your mind that this world has nothing to offer you that would compete with it. I don't care how successful you get, how big your bank account is, how many friends you got, what kind of power you wield or not wield. The thing about it is that the world's definition of success has very little to do with God's definition of success, and you'll try to do one or the other. Hopefully you could do, you know, you can do the one that God writes out for you. I want to read this paragraph. It's what we could call the forgotten side of success, and it is the success that will come to those who wish to develop the heart of a servant. We need a real balance in our lives. In one of my classes at Palm Beach Atlantic College, our professor shared this little illustration with us that made me understand the need for balance. So a bunch of young preachers at seminary were sitting around talking, and they were discussing what was most important, Bible study or prayer, in the Christian life. And oh, they had a major discussion going on. They were quoting verses back and forth to each other. And one of the young preachers said, well, why don't we go ask the professor? He'd been here a long time. So that's a real good idea. So they went to his office, and one of the young men stepped up, and he looked at the professor. He said, look here, we're having a real debate. He said, I'd like to know, in the Christian life, what's more important, Bible study or prayer? And the old professor stopped for just a minute, and he smiled a little bit, and he looked out at them two guys, or them three or four guys that was there. And he said, well, I'm going to answer your question with a question. Okay. In breathing, what's most important, inhaling or exhaling? You guys have a real nice day. Thanks for stopping by. Hello. We need it all, don't we? And being a servant is part of that all. You want church to be like you hoped it would be when you joined? Do you want it to be like you thought it would be when you joined? Do you want it to be something that you can't just take or leave? Do you want your life to change in a way that you could never find it to be able to change on what this planet offers you? Dig into being a servant and get about being one. It's not complicated. It really isn't complicated. We make it complicated sometimes. But I've never been happier in my soul down deep until I understood not just what's expected, but what I desire. And it makes all the difference in the world. And I hope that God will put that into you as well. Do you want to be what He called you to be? As if you do, my friend, He's got everything you need waiting for you to give Him yourself so that He can build that into you. Would you do that? For some of you right now, maybe not in this congregation, some of you who might be listening in, it starts with salvation. It's not a mystery. We can't serve a Lord that we don't know. The important thing is that you know Him as your Lord and Savior. Do you know Him? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever said, look, Lord, I want to come to the end of myself. I want You to be everything to me. I want to find out what You want me to be and what You want me to do, and I'm going to commit to it, and You grow in me what I can't grow on my own. I hope and pray that your life, as it relates to this church and your ministry and the things that you get to do here, I hope and pray that it's satisfying, that it's exciting, that it's enthusiastic, that it's moving to you. I hope and pray, honestly, that that's what your life is right now. If it's not, it can be. And if you don't know Him, I'm going to ask you to do something real simple. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer that I'm about to pray, word at a time. You're not praying it to me. You're praying it to the Lord Jesus. If you want to know him, if you want to start your life over again with meaning and purpose, would you do it? Would you pray this prayer with me? Bow your heads with me if you would. Lord, I admit that I don't know anything about you. Now, I admit that I do not know you personally. Now, I admit that I need to. And I also admit that I want to, and I want to do that right now. I realize that I'm a sinner, that I broke your laws. I realize that I can't save myself. So I'm asking you now, would you be my Lord and Savior? I believe, Jesus, that you are God's Son, that you died on the cross to forgive my sins if I would just receive you. I believe that. I believe that you are the Savior of the world, and I want you to be my Savior. So, Lord, I believe that in my heart, and I confess that as well right now to you that I need you. Please forgive me of my sins. I confess them to you. I can't do this without you. So, Lord, I admit, I believe, and I now confess. Please save me right now. I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for loving me enough to pay that price for me. In your name, Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer here, I'd love for you to see me before you go home today. If you're out there listening in, if you prayed that prayer today, if you have a pastor, please find that pastor and let them know. If you have a Christian friend, let them know. If you have a church family, let them know. Today I got saved, and I want to turn my life around with Jesus' help, and I want to be what he wants me to be. Amen to that. God bless y'all. I mentioned last week that we're going to take just a few minutes now, and I'll ask the guys to pass out the copies of this. Everybody knows who's living in this country right now. We've been fighting this disease, this COVID-19, for a while. As a church, we're responsible to make good choices the best we can. We are responsible to try to understand what's expected of us, and we have typed up some copies of this, and they're being passed out right now. We're going to have just a few minutes. While those copies are being passed out, I'd like to share with